Our scripture today comes from John chapter 15, through verses 10 and 11, which says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, right now in this moment, God, I recognize that I can do nothing apart from you. I recognize, Lord, that I need you. And God, my prayer this morning as I preach is that you lead me, Holy Spirit, my heart, so I'll be willing and ready to follow you in whatever way you may take me. I pray, oh Lord, that you just soften the hearts of all that are in here. God, that we would just receive the fullness of joy that is found in Christ. God, I pray also, and I pray this in front of everybody in here, Lord, that I not just preach this, but that I live this as well. I pray, Lord, that you lead this time. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Well, good morning. How is everybody today? It's good to see you all this morning. I'm excited to get to preach. As Jeff said, my name is Logan. If you don't know me, one of the pastors here at Hope Church. And I love getting to preach during Advent. Advent is one of my favorite seasons. And so if you are new here and this is like the first time you've ever really done Advent, or if you've been here for years and you are an Advent pro, either way, I want to kind of just, again, just kind of echo Jeff and talk about what this season is all about. Is where we both, first and foremost, we celebrate that Christ has come for us, right? Like we celebrate that God in flesh, he left his glory so that he could take on all the sin and shame of man and to take on all the wrath of God on himself and bear it on a cross so that we could be forgiven and set free of our sin. And so we celebrate, as that psalm we just sang says, that he has come for us. That he has come to bring us life, to redeem us. And so we celebrate that he has come, but we also look forward to the day where he returns in the fullness of his power and sets all things right. And so we celebrate, first and foremost, the salvation that already has come in Christ, but look forward to the day when his salvation will come in full. And so, we have a different focus every week. Our first week was on hope, and the Stewart Home Choir was here and led us, and it was awesome. And then last week was peace, in which Andrew Eaton, Jeff's son, he came and preached on that. And so if you weren't here last week to hear Andrew, if you haven't listened to it on the podcast, I want to just tell you real quick about what he talked about, because I'm going to kind of reference a few things that he actually talked about last week. But in talking about peace, he talked about the roadmap to peace. You know, how peace is our home, how our soul longs to be at home and to be at peace. And so we think our way there, we dwell on the things of Christ, and we thank our way there. We are a thankful people. And so again, today, our focus is on joy. All right? And so we're talking about the joy that has come for us in Christ. And so I thought that a great way to start off this sermon this morning would be with a quote that I read in my study and preparation from this dude named William Barclay. All right, I want to put this up here on the screen real quick. This quote, it says this: "A gloomy Christian is a contradiction." I like that. You know, a gloomy Christian is a contradiction. He is saying that if we as Christians, as believers in Christ, if we are sinners and we are enemies of God, but we have been redeemed by the Son, set free from both the penalty and the power of sin, we have gone from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from enemies to children of God, then we of all people in the world have more reason to be joyful than anybody else. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever for us to be non-joyful people, right? Like, of all the people in the world, we have the greatest right to joy than anybody else has. And so I love that quote, but I'm just going to tell you from my personal experience. Now, I pray that you have had different experience, but from my personal own experience, if I'm just going to be completely honest with you guys, is that instead of being the most joyful people on the planet, I have seen Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, be some of the most frustrated, bitter, mean, defeated, and joyless people that I have ever met. And so, like, if I'm going to tell you all part of my story, okay? So when people ask me about my story, about how Christ has rescued me, I always answer first with this, that I grew up as a very good church kid, but a terrible follower of Jesus. Like, I was great at church. Like, I went to church, I came to the services, I was in, like, the advanced teaching class in my youth group. Like, I was really good doing church, but when you got outside the building, like, I lived and looked like just like the rest of the world with zero regret whatsoever. It's like, I was great at church, but I was horrible at following Jesus Christ. And so, if I'm going to be completely honest, one of the reasons why I was not a follower of Jesus is because so few, and I'm not saying all, because I knew and I still know and love some very godly, joyful Christians who did their best to pour into and disciple me growing up, but like so few of the Christians that I was around growing up are people that I would consider to be joyful people. Like the overwhelming majority of a lot of the Christians, a lot of the disciples of Christ that I was around were some of the most complaining, bitter, mean, defeated, gloomy type of people that I had ever met. And through years of growing up with that, honestly, a lot of it rubbed off on me. I mean, I still have to surrender my own complaining, my own bitterness, my own anger to Christ daily, like especially when I'm driving my car. I mean, that's my wife. I'm the most un-Christ-like when I'm driving my car, okay? But like, honestly, guys, like growing up, I didn't want that. And so like, I did not follow Jesus because when I looked at Jesus, I saw gloominess, I saw bitterness, I saw defeat. I didn't want to be like that, so I wasn't. I did not follow Jesus for years. I didn't have that joy that I had heard about in the Bible, and I had never really seen that joy in other people. And so I decided that for me, what was best for me was I would do the bare minimum that I would need to do in order to be considered Christian while still living like the rest of the world. And guys, here's the unfortunate part is that hasn't changed much today as far as people still walking as gloomy, defeated Christians. Like, that's really not changed very much. To this day, and Jeff already hit on this a little bit, but like especially here in America. Like, I've been to Haiti, I've been to Honduras, and some of the most joyful people I've ever met come from the most impoverished, horrible circumstances I've ever seen. But here in America, which makes no sense whatsoever, since we have more freedom and more opportunity to worship openly and freely than anybody else in the world, like I have just seen some of the most bitter Christians and I've seen some of the most joyless people I've ever met. I mean, so many believers in Christ walk around like victims of this world, feeling defeated because of how horrible this world is, and we are just so quick to complain and just bicker about all of it. I mean, it's everything from political opinions to what stupid cup Starbucks has for Christmas this year to do you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Like, to junk that doesn't matter. And we get so bitter about it and we begin to walk around like victims on the losing side of history, whereas in reality, we need to be walking around like conquerors and victors on the victorious side of eternity. But like, I don't see that. And what's even worse is that in the year 2019, there's this brilliant thing called social media in which we take all our anger and bitterness and put it out there for the world to see. I mean, I can look at some people's walls and it is nothing but bitter political posts. I can't believe they named this person the Time Magazine Person of the Year. I can't believe what this athlete said about our nation or our country. All kinds of stuff. But then once in a while, you get this small little, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm like, what? Are you sure about that? You know what I mean? And God's like, here's the problem. Like, I really do fear that to a lost and dying world who needs the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they look at us as the ambassadors of that gospel, and they don't see us carry with us the joy that we are expected to have. And so, like me, it turns them away from Jesus instead of towards Jesus. And guys, when that happens, that's a contradiction. That's not what we're called to be. And so I ask myself, I mean, I really do stop and think sometimes, and I look at the bitterness and joylessness of so many believers in Christ. I really do stop and think, how in the world did we get here? Like, how in the world is this where we got? So let's take a look again at these verses in John 15. And this actually tells us what we have to do, what we must do in order to have this incredible, lasting joy that we are expected to possess as redeemed disciples of Christ Jesus, right? So back, John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. So first of all, let me kind of give you some context to these scriptures. Here in John 15, we are like right smack dab in the middle of what is called Jesus' farewell discourse. It's a fun title if you want to know that. And that is basically Jesus' teaching from like the previous two or three chapters and the following two or three chapters right before Jesus is led to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is betrayed by Judas and then led to be crucified. So it's these several chapters. And up until this point, they have taken the Lord's Supper together. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Jesus has predicted Peter's denial of him. And so here in chapter 15, it starts, the first nine verses are about Jesus talking about how he is the vine and the disciples are the branches. You know what I'm talking about? So he is the vine, we are the branches. It says, you know, abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Those who do not bear fruit, he cuts off the branch, because then you're not a branch anymore, you're just a stick. Right? If you're not bearing fruit, you're not a branch, you're a stick. So he cuts off the sticks, and for those branches that continue to bear fruit, he prunes them so that they bear more fruit. And so then you get to verse 10, where he again says, you know, keep my commands, you know, bear fruit, abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. And then in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Now, pay attention to that. Whose joy does he say he wants us to have? His joy. He wants us to have his joy. So here's what we need to understand. When we talk about being a joyful follower of Christ, when we talk about having joy, we're not talking about like conjuring up within yourself all these good feelings and like good vibes only. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we don't, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about conjuring up something that's already in you. We're talking about receiving from Christ the very joy that sustained him in his life. That's the joy that we are promised, that he wants us to have. And so I want to actually look at the Greek word for joy, because it gives us a lot of insight into what this joy really looks like. And so it's this Greek word, and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong in pronouncing this, okay? Chara? Boom, got it. Chara, all right? And so it's this Greek word called chara, and it is the root word for a lot of other Greek words. Like, it is the root word for charis, which is the Greek word for grace. It's the root word for Eucharist. And if you don't know what Eucharist is, it means thankfulness. And so, like, the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, the church word for that is Eucharist. That's what that is called. It's where we give thanks for what Christ has done for us. It is the, chara is the root word for charisma. Right, we're talking about charisma, you're talking about the charm and attractiveness and this energy, okay? And this Greek word also, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this word is used to translate for the word banquets, feasts, and celebrations. So this is the picture of joy that we are talking about. The joy that Jesus wants us to have, his joy, is a joy that regardless of circumstance, regardless of what is happening in the world around us, it is a joy that is birthed out of the grace of Jesus Christ, results in a lifestyle of thankfulness, and it goes beyond just happiness, which is tethered to your circumstances, and gets you to a place where when you are walking around, you are like a walking celebration. Right? That's the joy that he wants us to have, where whatever is happening around you, you can walk around like a walking celebration. I think that's an awesome picture. And I don't know about you, but like that's the joy that I want my life to be characterized by. Like, I want people to look at me and be like, man, he is a walking party, essentially. Like, that is cool. Like, he is a walking celebration. And so, here's the thing. I think we can hear that and we can be like, but man, just look at the brokenness of this world. Look at the things around us. It's so hard for me to have a joy like that. But listen, church, in John 15:11, he says, I've spoken to these things to you so that you can have this joy. He wants you to have this joy. It is possible for us to have this joy. So there are two things we must do that we see in these scriptures that we must do in order to have this joy. First, we must abide in the person of Christ. And two, we must obey the person of Christ. If we want to have this joy that makes us look like a walking celebration, we must abide in Christ. We must obey Christ. So first of all, let's look at those two things. Let's start with the word abide. So that Greek word for abide essentially means to remain or to continue in. And it is often used in talking about like remaining in a single dwelling place or a single abode. So essentially, kind of like what Andrew said last week, it's to abide in Christ means to make Christ your home and to just stay in, to dwell in him. I get my days off are Fridays. Jeff is awesome in that he allows us on staff to have time off to just kind of rest and rejuvenate and just seek the Lord. And one of the things, like the main thing I really like to do, honestly, on my days off is I like to sit on my couch and watch Star Wars or read a book. Like, I don't really like to leave. I really don't. Like, when I'm at home, I just want to stay home. I am comfortable there. It's peaceful there. I got my Star Wars going or my Marvel movie going because I'm a dweeb and I'm a nerd and I love those things. But like, that's all I really want to do. I want to stay at home. And so this is what this is talking about. When it says abide in Christ, it means you're just remaining in him. You're continuing in him. Your comfort, your rest, your peace is all in him. And you're not deviating from him, trying to make your home somewhere else. And again, as Andrew talked about last week, to abide, it means we have to think our way there. We have to think our way there. We need to constantly be dwelling on the good things of Christ. We need to be getting into his word and allowing his word to get into us. It means we need to be a people of constant prayer. It means we need to be a people who are thankful for all the many blessings that he showers us with every single day. It means he is the focal point of our lives. He is our home, and we remain in him. Look at Psalm chapter 51, verse 12. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And so that's King David. I think Andrew actually used this verse last week as well. But that's King David after his sin with Bathsheba. Right, like he has stolen another man's wife. He had the man murdered to cover it up. And so he's praying this after his sin. And he says, restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation. Not my salvation, your salvation. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Essentially, he is saying, God, in my sin, I have failed to abide in the truth of what you have done for me. And as a result, I have wandered off into sin. And so, I'll give you another example. When Ezra was born, he's my son. When Ezra was born, I got Kayla what's called a push present. So if you don't know what a push present is, it's something that husbands get their wives for being incredible human beings and pushing out other human beings, right? And so that's what a push present is. And so for Kayla, I got her a necklace. It's a necklace with Ezra's birthstone in it. Let me just be honest with y'all. I killed it with that gift. Like, man, I did awesome. I even knew when I was buying it, I was like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, this is awesome. And so she loves that necklace. Like, to this day, 2 years after Ezra's been born, to this day, the only time I've ever seen her intentionally not wear that necklace was literally this week when that great bundle of joy broke the necklace off her neck. All right? And so that's literally, and she had to go get it fixed. It's literally the only time I've essentially, like, seen her intentionally not wear that necklace. But guys, the reason why she loves that necklace isn't because it's so pretty, and it's not because it's got his birthstone. She loves it because it serves for her as a reminder of the joy of being a mother. You know, it's a reminder of the responsibility of being a mother. It's a reminder of the beauty of being a mother. And so she carries that with her. And so the point is, like, we also need to constantly be holding on to those things that constantly bring us back to the joy of being a child of God. We must carry with us his word, our thoughts, our thanksgiving, our prayers, carrying with us, reminding ourselves constantly of the joy of the Lord, abiding in him, reminding of ourselves constantly of the salvation, his salvation given to us through his life, death, and resurrection. If you want to have Christ's joy in you, then as Christ abided in the love of the Father, so you too must abide in the love of the Son. Abide in his love and you will receive joy. So that's the first thing we have to do. But the second thing we have to do is it's not enough just to abide. We also must obey. We must obey. Jesus says, you can go back to John 15, 10 and 11. 10 and 11 real quick. It says, if you keep my commands, right? Keep my commands. So that word for keep is not this word that's just like, hey, I got this outfit. I'm not really sure if I like it or not. Even though I bought it, I'll keep it, put it in my closet. Maybe I'll bring it back out later. Like, that's not what keep my commands means. You know, it means I observe them. It means I follow them. And it means I do them now. It doesn't mean I got them stored up. I'm keeping them in the back of my mind. I'll get to them eventually. Like, that is not what this is saying. It says when we abide in Christ, when we make our abode with him, when we seek him, and he is our home, he is going to command us to do stuff. Like, he's going to give us instructions. He is going to lead us forward and give us commands to do. And in verses 12 and 13 here, John 15, it actually tells us what the commands are. So let's look at that. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So it says that his commands are for us to love each other as he himself has loved us. So guys, make no mistake. When you abide in Christ, when you abide through dwelling on him, through seeking him in his word, through prayer, through thanksgiving, what you will find is that he will reveal to you how to sacrificially love others as he has sacrificially loved you. He will command you on how to specifically love specific people. He will give you instruction on how to carry out the kingdom of God to wherever you are. And that, by doing that, by obeying those commands, by sacrificially loving others as Christ has done us, is exactly how we experience the joy of Jesus. Because look, back at verse 10 again, he doesn't just say, keep my commands. He doesn't just say, keep my commands. He says, do it as I have kept my Father's commands. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Jeff already kind of said this verse as well. He said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, abiding in Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He went to the cross for what? Joy. Let me tell you what this does not mean. Again, we'll go back to my son Ezra. So Kale and I got, Ezra, we got a little zoo pass. It's because Ezra loves the zoo. He loves animals. And the zoo pass is awesome, by the way. If you got little kids, get that zoo pass, all right? You pretty much make money off of it. It's good. Anyway, we go to the zoo a lot. And so when we go to the zoo, Ezra is just pumped. You know, like when he gets there, especially like with certain animals, especially like the gorillas and the elephants and the giraffes in particular, like those, he goes nuts over. He is so excited. And for some reason, the birds. I don't know why. He loves the birds, though. He loves them. I don't get it, but he loves it. But anyway, he just gets so, he's like, yeah, let's go. You know, he starts making the noises that they're making and stuff, and it's precious and it's adorable. He gets so excited going to the zoo. Now listen, when Jesus looked at the cross, he did not look at it like my son looks at the zoo. Like, he did not look at the cross and be like, yes, go ahead, nail them nails into my hands. This is going to be great. I can't wait. Let's do it again. Get one in, get two in. Let's be awesome. Let's go hard. You know what I mean? Like, no, he didn't do that. Like, y'all realize in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus literally prayed for plan B, right? I mean, he's literally like, Lord, if there's any other way, I do not like this plan. If there's any other way, let this cup pass over me. But then what does he say? But not my will, your will. Where did the joy of the cross come from for Jesus? From obedience to the Father. That's where the joy set before him. That's where it comes from. His joy became because he was walking in obedience to the Father. And even if that obedience were to take him to the cross, it would bring him joy. Because there is joy in obeying. And so like Christ looks to the Father and abided in the Father and obeyed him, we too must look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We must look, we must abide in Jesus, and then we too must lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that keeps us from running the race, everything that keeps us from obeying. Do you see that? And so some of y'all in here may think, well, look, this doesn't seem right because, you know, we're not under law, but we are under grace. You know, Ephesians 2, by grace through faith you've been saved. So what do you mean, like, we got to keep these rules? Church, let me tell you something, okay? If you experience the grace of Christ, you will inevitably obey Christ. If you are not obeying Jesus, you've yet to taste the grace of Jesus. His grace leads to obedience to his commands. Why? Because his commands are not burdensome. They are invitations for your joy. They are invitations into joy. Like, we think of commands like just rules. Like, they're not. They're invitations to joy. And so when we love others as Christ has loved us, regardless of their political affiliation, what team they cheer for, where they're from, we get to walk in the joy of Christ because there is joy in obedience to Jesus. So if you want to experience the joy of Christ, those two things, you got to do those two things. You have to abide and you've got to obey. Abide and obey. Seek him, make your home with him, and then do the things that he is inviting you to do. When I was growing up, I grew up in the 90s, when I was growing up, I used to watch this cartoon called Hey Arnold. Anybody know what show that is? Oh, come on. Look at all these people up here. This is great. Hey Arnold. I loved Hey Arnold. So if you don't know what Hey Arnold is, it is admittedly a very weird show about this football-shaped head kid named Arnold. And he's a little fourth grader, but he's very mature for his age. Very, like, the voice of reason. And, like, he's just kind of a voice of, you know, like, just let's make the better choice and stuff. And this show is essentially him navigating the life of a fourth grader in a big city. All right, he lives in a very big city. And so I recently discovered that this show, all five seasons of it, are on Hulu. And so me being a 27-year-old adult and watching this cartoon in my spare time, and I am loving it. It's great because I love this cartoon. I mean, I pretty much watched cartoons until the day I got married and Kale didn't want to watch cartoons with me. And so I loved watching cartoons. And so now in one particularly weird episode, all right, and I mean it's a weird episode, there's a character named Stoop Kid. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Stoop Kid's afraid to leave a stoop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, so this kid named Stoop Kid. Now, Stoop, if you know what I'm talking about, like a stoop and like in a building in like a big city in your home, your apartment, you got this big stoop in front of your house, all the stairs and stuff, all right? And so Stoop Kid's story is that Like from the moment he's been born, like he has never left his stoop. He's been in his house or he sat on his stoop and he has never gone off his stoop. And so he's this very bitter, angry, frustrated child. And he like screams at people when they get too close to it. It's like old ladies walking their dog. He's like, yeah, you keep walking. You know, you don't get away from my stoop, you know. And so all the kids are afraid of him and stuff. But what you later find out is that the reason why stoop kid's never gotten off a stoop is because he's terrified. Like he's never left a stoop before, so when he looks at the big wide world around him, it terrifies him, it scares him. He can't think of what life would be like not on his stoop. And so Arnold, he decides to befriend stoop kid as this episode progresses, and he convinces him that he needs to take that step off his stoop. And so through a lot of time and encouragement and work, stoop kid finally takes that big step off his stoop. It's this great big celebration. Everyone's so happy. He's so happy. He's so encouraged. He finally stepped off his stoop. And then guess what happens? He gets back on his stoop. And he goes and sits back down in his little chair in the stoop. And Arnold's like, hey, man. Like, hey, don't you want to go see the world? You've taken that step. Don't you want to go out now? And don't you want to see all the great things this world has to offer? And he's like, why would I leave my stoop? It's like I took the first step. It's like, that's enough. Like, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. I got everything I need right here. So I said at the beginning of my sermon that I come to a point where I just wonder how we got to a point where we are not filled with the joy that we should have as Christians. And guys, I believe the answer is this. The reason why we are not walking with this incredible joy that we are supposed to have is because far too many of us are way too comfortable staying on your stoop. And here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. I mean that we fail to abide in and obey Christ because we know that he's going to call us off our stoop into a place that scares us. And listen, your stoop could be a lot of different things. It could be laziness. Your stoop could simply be fear of spreading the gospel to people because you feel ill-equipped to answer some of the hard questions, the tough things they're going to say to you. Your stoop could be bitterness. Maybe someone's hurt you in your past or maybe even hurting you now in your present and you're just refusing to be healed from that bitterness. Some of you all, your bitterness could absolutely be your politics and you refuse to love people who think differently than you do. Some of y'all, your stoop could be the bottom of a bottle. Your stoop could be how much is in your wallet. Your stoop could be the end of a joint. It could be the images of men and women on your computer or phone screen when everyone else in your house is asleep. Your stoop could absolutely be you just want to do church. You want other people to walk your walk for you. Guys, and what happens is because we don't want to be called off our stoop, because we don't want to leave, we get defensive about it. We get protective of it. We start holding on to it. And the moment that anybody gets too close to it, we feel like victims. We get anxious and we get defeated. We feel depressed because Jesus is calling you to step out of what is comfortable and to step into what he is calling you to do. And guess what the result is? Christians who are frustrated, bitter, and defeated. Let me just tell you all something, okay? Jesus did not leave his throne so that you could stay on your stoop. Jesus did not come so that you could stay where you are. He did not do that. Your stoop will do absolutely nothing for your joy. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. This is a life verse for me. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The enemy is nothing but a liar who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And you know how he wants to do that? By keeping you on your stoop. By telling you to run back to the things that Jesus has already rescued you from. By convincing you that the joy that you are searching for, the joy that you are missing in your life, is found in the very same things you've been searching for joy in your entire life and not yet found. And he wants to keep you there. And guys, Here's the problem with this. The longer you sit on your stoop, the weaker your perception of Jesus Christ becomes. When we sit on our stoop, here's what we forget. We forget that, yes, this world is hard. Yes, it is changing. Yes, it is difficult to navigate. But we also forget that Jesus has overcome this world. And so instead of taking a strong and victorious Jesus who has risen from the dead, we exchange him for a weak and vulnerable Jesus who can't solve our problems. So we soak back onto our stoops and look for the answers there instead. And it results in joyless Christians. Frustrated, bitter, defeated. Church, if you just abide in Christ, if you just obey the commands he gives you, you will see that there is only joy to be had in Jesus Christ. He did not come, he did not leave the glory of his kingdom so that you could stay where you are. I've heard a preacher say this, and I thought it was great. Does Jesus love you just as you are? Absolutely. But he also loves you far too much for you to stay where you are. Get up and start abiding and walking in the commands and the obedience that he has given you. And you will experience joy. That is where his joy, you become a walking celebration. You know, back to my story, I told you all one of the biggest reasons why I didn't follow Christ for years because I was sick of seeing just bitter Christians. I didn't want that life. When I graduated high school for one semester and went to Liberty University, which is like the largest evangelical university in the planet, and I didn't really like the school that much, but here's the thing. When I got there, I met people who had this joy that I had never seen. And I wanted that. I had never seen the joy that these kids had, regardless of how stressed they were about their finals, or regardless of how issues were at home, or regardless of, you know, things that were happening to them there. Like, man, they just carried with them the joy of Christ. Why? Because they were abiding in Jesus and they were obeying Jesus. And I saw that and I was like, that's what I want. So church, listen to me. Even if not for your sake, for the sake of the world, get off your stoop and start abiding in Christ. Start obeying him. See the joy of the Lord come to you. He wants you to have it. Y'all seen that Geico commercial, the guy at the fishing pole, he's like, oh, you almost had it. You know what I mean? Like with the dollar, he's like trying, oh, almost got it. Gotta be quicker than that. Like Jesus isn't dangling joy in front of your face like that. Jesus wants to lavish you with joy if you just abide and obey. So we're going to move now into a time of invitation. So first and foremost, I just want to invite you, if you are in here, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Scripture is very clear that apart from Christ, it says you are dead in your sin. You are an enemy of God that created you and loved you. And you are condemned to an eternal hell separated from him. But the good news, the gospel, is that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Though he never sinned, he stepped out of glory, walked this earth, and though he never sinned, he took your sin, all your shame, all your rebellion, he claimed them as his own for you so that he could take the punishment you deserved by dying a death on a cross. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead in resurrection power. And he is inviting you, you surrender your life to him, his life will be yours. You will no longer be dead in your sin, but you will be alive to God in Christ Jesus. You will be saved from your sin, be saved from death, be saved from hell, and be saved into abundant and joyful life with Christ for eternity. Surrender your life to Jesus. That's the first invitation. The second invitation is that if you are in here this morning, you know what? You're just like, you know what? I've been sitting on my stoop. Like I'm just resting in things that have been robbing me of joy. My invitation to you is simply to just confess that, repent, and abide in Christ. Let go. There's going to be people who are going to come up here in the altar. They're going to be willing to pray with you. They would be love to hear you confess and love to pray with you and pray over you. And if you don't want to talk to them, just come and kneel and just pray. We can do it from your seat. It doesn't matter, but just pray. Just let go of the things you are still holding on to that are robbing you of the joy of Christ Jesus. Start abiding and start obeying. Let today be a day of repentance for you. And the third invitation, for all those who call Christ Lord, we offer the Lord's Supper. It's where you take the bread, which represents the body of Christ broken, you dip it into the cup, which represents his blood shed, and just be joyful and thankful in remembrance of what he has done for you in the cross. Come and just worship and respond by taking the bread and the cup this morning. Let's pray real quick, church. Lord God, I love you. I thank you for the joy that you offer us. Lord, I confess that there are times in my life, God, where I want to run back to my own stoop, and I want to run back to the things that have robbed me of joy. Jesus, keep me from doing that. Keep us from doing that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray, O Lord, that for all hearts in here that we would just let go and start abiding and obeying you. Seeing the fullness of joy. May we walk out of this room being walking celebrations that this world can't ignore, so that they run to the Father. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, will you come? Church, let's stand, and Chad is going to lead us, continue to lead us in worship this morning.